WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa's moved on to Cuba. Dumped torrential rain as it made landfall as a Category 3 after pummeling Jamaica. CBS's Jason Allen.
There's no power here in Old Harbor today. Any lights that you see on, that's from generators. We know that there is flooding toward the beach. We know there is flooding that is crossing the road and blocking highways.
Israel says the ceasefire's back on in Gaza after overnight strikes. The BBC's Sebastian Usher.
The scenes across Gaza were reminiscent of the height of the war, with people describing pillars of fire and smoke rising above Gaza City.
Nevada is among states suing the Trump administration to try to stop food benefits from running out this weekend. State Attorney General Aaron Ford.
The law is clear. Congress said that SNAP must be provided to every eligible household. The Trump administration doesn't get to ignore that just because it's politically inconvenient.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
The Bucks knock off the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12 at the half and came back to beat the Knicks at five serve form, 121 to 111. Giannis with 37 points. Ryan Rollins, a career high 25 from Milwaukee. But after the game, Doc Rivers said what he really liked was the defense by Rollins and Kyle Kuzma.
It's what we have to do. I mean, you know, our whole parts is what makes us seem really good. I thought the second half, just the effort defensively by everyone, starting with Ryan, guarding Brunson for most of the night, got tons of deflections, got his hands on the ball, got a couple of steals. Kuz guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. That's as good as you can get.
So the Bucks host the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night. Tip-off time at 7 p.m. Baseball, a big night for the Blue Jays. They jumped out to an early lead, beat the Dodgers in L.A. 6-2 to tie the World Series, up two games apiece. Game 5 of the Fall Classic tonight at Dodger Stadium with sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 53 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop down to just below freezing, around 31 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Wisconsin football's 2025 season is almost over. Just two chances left to be at Camp Randall for Big Ten football. Don't miss the Badgers' matchups with Washington and Illinois and the traditions that make game day unforgettable. Jump around the fifth quarter and memories that can only be made in Madison. Tickets are going fast. Lock in your seats now at uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Todd Albaugh.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen join me next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. 7:06 now. Nice to have you here up north on a Wednesday morning. It is October 29th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2, and Ellie Bordeaux is standing by to tell us what you can find in the newsletters at Up North News by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. But first, let's pass along some temperatures across the area. It is 37 here in the Chippewa Valley. Tomahawk is the cold spot at 25 right now. Hayward at 28 degrees. The warm spot is in both Milwaukee and Racine, where it's 48 right now. Wausau's at 41, La Crosse at 41 as well. Oshkosh, you're at 43 degrees. It's 39 in Wisconsin Rapids. It's 43 in Richland Center. Now, again, you can sign up for our newsletter by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. You can get the weekday edition that Ellie puts together and, of course, our Sunday morning one as well. The Sunday morning newsletter at the moment has a question of the week that is really close to being 50-50, and that is asking people their view on whether a new nuclear power plant should be built in Wisconsin in the Kewaunee area, where there had been a plant for many years. And now there's talk of constructing a new nuclear power plant because it's carbon free. It's a carbon free way to generate electricity and does not contribute to a changing climate, or it has some real downsides to it. What are your thoughts on it? Again, to be among the first to see and respond to the question of the week, get our Sunday morning newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's head over to visit with Ellie Bordeaux and find out what's happening in that weekday newsletter as well. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. Although, again, once I get done talking to you about things in the newsletter, I usually end up working up an appetite.
That's fair.
It was pizza a couple of weeks back. Last week, it was burger spots, and the listeners and readers of the newsletter did not disappoint in their responses.
Yes, that is very true. We got a ton of responses. It's so fun to look through and hear about all the different burger places and everything. This week, we've got a bunch of different things that our readers love. Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill. This one was interesting. They had Christmas curds, a variation of cheese curds with an added sweet flavor. And then they've got a Witten burger, a half-pound burger with sautéed mushrooms and onions, smoking barbecue sauce, and melted cheese curds. That sounds delicious.
I love the idea of the melted cheese curds on the burger. Although I will stipulate that I've seen some that look like it's like one giant cheese curd on a burger. We all know that's not an actual cheese curd. That's a right. Big old mound of cheese, and that's yeah. Fine. Just don't call things curds unless they are actual curds. That's my only rule involved in this. And yeah, I'd love to try one of those on a burger.
Right. Yeah. Don't mislabel it. That's just a patty of cheese, you know. But yeah. Another one is Lucy's Number 7 Burger Bar.
This one is unique. Yes.
Yeah. They've got cheese curds and Wisconsin beers. They specialize in smash burgers and they have different monthly specials, like an apple cranberry chutney and maple bacon aioli.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. That prompted me the other day to look up the menu for the livery in Eau Claire because they have a rather unique burger that they put some kind of a, it's not a pepper jam, but it's some kind of, and then there's like a bacon aioli thing or I don't even know what. It's just, I love when people dress them up. It is possible to overdress your burger. Don't get me wrong, you know.
That is true. Yes. No, I do agree with that. You got to do it right.
it's kind of like the version of that for me is Chicago hot dogs. Chicago hot dog, by the time you look at it, they basically you've put the entire salad bar on a hot dog and you're not actually tasting hot dog anymore. The same would go for a burger. I've never gotten into, say, the Whopper, for example. You know, to all beef or the Big Mac, to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Commercial jingles never die. and again, that's a bit much, but boy, there's nothing like getting it just right, you know?
Right. Totally. And I do agree. Sometimes simpler is better, you know, like sometimes you just got to stick to the basics and that's all you need, but it is fun to try the fun and new things that these places offer. So it's always fun to see.
Yeah. And it not everything is for everybody. There's some, you know, some of these burgers have like peanut butter on them and other weird stuff, but hey, to each their own. So do you have a new food category coming up at some point here? Or are you still letting the wheels spin on what to ask about next?
Yeah. So next week, we're not talking about food necessarily next week. Next week, we want to hear, since Friday will be Halloween, we want to hear about the unique ways that people in Wisconsin spend their Halloween. So whether that's trick-or-treating or going to a bar and they have different specials and things like that, or a different festival, we want to hear how you spend your Halloween in Wisconsin and what's the best way to do it. So that's what we're looking for next week. In the future, we're definitely going to be looking for more food places, I'm sure, because that's always a good one. And it's kind of fun, you know, to get those. But we're looking at Halloween this week.
This week you've got you've got no shortage of decorations. And I've said before, people are treating this very much like Christmas now. The volume of decorations that people are putting up and that people are sending photos into you.
Right. Yeah. No, it's so fun to see. I love getting responses from all of our readers about different costumes they have, the different decorations. We had one earlier this week of, I believe his name was Chris, where he carved like 10 plus pumpkins and they were incredible and so intricate. And so that's really fun to see. It definitely is like Christmas though. I love Halloween decorations. We used to, when I was younger, have a house that we, that went all out for Halloween. So we would go and drive past it all the time. And so it's kind of fun to see looking through these photos of, you could be that house that someone's taking a detour to go see, you know?
And there's the two categories. There's the spooky, scary, and there's the camp. And I, of course, am very squarely in the campy one, you know, but others, they go for as much, you know, blood as possible. They go for the surprise factor where something jumps out or screams at you. And, you know, that's fine, to each their own. But others, I just, you know, you just like to kind of go more on the campy. Hey, we're just having fun with this. Something the kids could actually enjoy and not wet their pants and their costumes as they run away in horror, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. We used to, when I was younger and I would go trick-or-treating, there was a house in my neighborhood that had like the candy bowl had a hand in it and it would like come down and grab you like when you put your hand in, and I would never go to that house because it was too scary. So it is fun to see, again, like, the different ways people decorate for Halloween. There are, I feel like, two ways to do it. That's very true. So
yeah. How about costume wise? I've been asking people throughout the week here. Do you have a favorite of one year, the best costume you ever had was?
I would say my good friend and I, I think my best costume, I was Napoleon Dynamite 1 year. Oh. I had a wig and I had the Vote for Pedro shirt and it was great.
Did you have like the boots too? And did you do the little, dance?
I didn't do the dance at that point, but I actually did the dance at a different point when I was in high school for an assembly. So I know the dance.
Did you have somebody that played Uncle Rico, and like, did he have a football and he said he could throw the football over the mountain or anything like that?
Right. Honestly, no, I did not, but okay. I'm sure I could have found someone to do that for me.
Napoleon Dynamite was one of those movies where, you know, my girls were in their like early teens at the time. And we all have movies like this, where the first time you see a movie, you go, this is the dumbest thing ever. And then by the time you're done watching it the second time, and then the third, you're like, this thing is really growing on me. And
totally. Then
you can't stop. And you just look back and go, how did I ever make it to this many times? I've seen that movie at least a half a dozen times, and right. it just grows on you. But the first time, you can't imagine that you would ever watch it a second time, you know?
Totally. No, I completely agree. I like to say I either like really, really good movies or really, really bad movies. And that mm-hmm. can fall into either category, depending on who you are, you know?
Yep. Are you aware of anybody who's doing anything particularly special costume wise this year yet amongst your friends and things? I know I've got a couple of friends who every year, I mean, that's like their focus. They go all out to find the costume of the year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can't think of anyone that's has anything super like mm-hmm. specific. My parents one year were Homer and Marge Simpson. My mom had a nice. Big blue wig. That was really sure. funny. Mm-hmm. This year, when I was out helping my family with trick or treat, we saw someone dressed as the Barrel Man from the Brewers.
Oh,
that was really great. That was pretty cool. I would say those are like my top ones for sure.
Okay. All right. We'll be looking forward to that. And again, y'all can feel free to send us your own photos of costumes or decorations or other ideas that you'd like to share with people that they can, you know, use between now and Friday. And you can either put that in the comment sections here on YouTube and Facebook, or you can always email us as well. The email address for the radio show is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And then I can forward those over to Ellie as well as she puts together future editions of the newsletter. We've also had a focus this week on breast cancer awareness in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So October is breast cancer awareness. And while there have been a lot of things happening leading up to this point, there's still a lot of ways that you can support survivors or people that have been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so we put together a story about different ways that you can help and different fundraisers that are going on and different events that are going on. So we've got some in Oshkosh, some in Milwaukee. We've got one in Plymouth. We've got one in Hartford. So in the newsletter, we've always got a different story kind of looking at those kinds of things. And there are other ways where you can support year long, you know, and, but yeah, so it's really great to see.
Okay. We can check those out. And then finally, of course, with the government shutdown, and it appears that supplemental nutrition assistance funding or SNAP funding will be running out. And that is going to put some severe pressure on families and food banks and more, where people are looking for whatever resources they can find to carry us forward as the shutdown rolls on.
Yeah, that's right. And this is going to affect about 700,000 Wisconsinites. And so it's really important to understand what's happening and also understand how you can help and how those in need can receive help. So again, we put together a different list of ways or places where help is available, where you can receive food assistance. Local food pantries are really great. They're in very high demand right now because of this. So if you're able, like volunteering your time, donating money, money is able to stretch really far with local food banks because they're able to buy in bulk. Or if you're able to donate food, non-perishables, just make sure you do some research on where you're donating, what they need, what would be best to donate. Because it's some places accept produce, some places don't. You want to be sure that you're donating what is really helpful. So
yeah, don't just grab, you know, the things in your cupboard that are, you know, past their expiration date, and try to actually think of this as doing some good for a family that is in need, and look at what those needs are. Because again, we don't have, we just talked yesterday, a story that ProPublica did earlier this month about all this emergency food that was going to be going to food pantries. The Trump administration just went and canceled it all over the summer. And we're just finding out all about that. So food pantries are really struggling and really appreciate the donations. And you can learn much more about it in our newsletter articles. Sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bordeaux, thank you so much as always. Happy Halloween to you.
Yes, same to you. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Still ahead, we're going to have our homeroom segment with State Representative Angelina Cruz, going to be talking about what she's seen on the Assembly Education Committee and what she is saying about some of the politics being played by recent controversy at the DPI when it comes to unprofessional conduct done by teachers. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
We're in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Here are a list of upcoming events in the Central Wisconsin area on Friday, October 31st. The Vesper Volunteer Fire Department is hosting a brat fry from 4 to 7:30 p.m., and the Vesper Recreation Committee will have games and treats from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the community center. The Beer and Fire Department will have trucks at the park from 5 to 7 p.m., and firefighters will hand out candy. Trunk or treat at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, 3 until 6 p.m., with candy and food trucks. Don't forget to wear your costume. Followed by the Heartbeats Dance at the Elks Lodge from 6 p.m. until midnight. Trick or treat at McMillan Library, 4 to 5:30 p.m. Come in costumes, get treats at the service desks, and be sure to stop at the all-purpose room for a treat and to have your picture taken at the photo booth. Wisconsin Rapids Haunted Walkthrough Event at the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department from 3 to 5 p.m. This free, spooky, family-friendly event is open to the community, offering a safe and fun way for kids and families to collect candy. Wishing you a safe and happy Halloween from WFHR and WIRI.
Good news! You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
5 to 7, going to be a real fun time, going to be a blast. Coffee with the Chamber, one of my favorite events you guys do, is coming up on November 19th.
Yes, it is. So our Coffee with the Chamber that is happening, again, on November 19th, is happening from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m., and it's happening at the City Hall Council Chambers. This one is free for our chamber members. If you are a non-member, it is $10, but I really do think it's worth it because it is such a great way to learn what's going on in the community. And as not only a business member, like a business person, but also just like a member of the Wisconsin Rapids community, I really do think it's some great insightful information. Our discussion topic is going to be related to economics. It's going to be the economic development update on the general community, paper mill, foundry site, downtown master plan, and more, which is just like so all-encompassing of everything that the city has to offer. Our two speakers are Kyle Kearns and then the mayor, Matt Zocker. And this event has been very generously sponsored by Paper City Savings Bank.
Appreciate them sponsoring this one. You got two incredible speakers right there, both Kyle and Mayor Matt. Really good talkers, but also really down-to-earth, easy-to-talk-to people. So having an event like this is perfect for them and a perfect opportunity, like you said, a really just one-stop-shop kind of thing for you. If you're interested in the area, you want to know more about what's going on in your area, to discuss some of these things. And the economic development, every one of those updates has a ton of information in it. I get to talk to Matt once a month and everything, and I cannot tell you on air, off air, how excited he is about that impact and what's going on in that, and the work that's being done to build our economy even stronger in this area. And you could be a part of that conversation by being a part and get some great coffee at the same time. I like where it's being hosted at, too. That's a great spot.
Yeah, I think it's very indicative of what the topic is going to be.
It's very fitting. Yeah, yeah. Make sure to make plans for that one, everybody. Mark it on your calendar. And as we are getting closer to November and, of course, the holiday marathon that is going on, we get ready for some of our favorite events. And one of the signature events in our area, Rekindle the Spirit, the parade's coming up.
Yes, I'm super excited for this one because I'm not from this area, so it'll be my first year kind of being around for it. And so I'm super excited to see what it's all about. But what I do know is that it's on November 26th. It's starting at 5:45 p.m. And it's going to be on West Grand Avenue. It's going to start by near City Hall and end kind of past Hotel Mead and the library. We're taking registrations for float entries right now, so if you're interested in that, please call Lacey at 715-423-1830 for an application form. Or if that's too much and you want to come say hi to our faces here at the chamber, just stop in and grab an application form.
It's such a fun event. Encourage everybody to be a part of this one. We will be. We're going to get to broadcast live for this one. We're going to be broadcasting and talking about the parade itself and getting it to our listeners and everything. We got to do this a couple of years ago. It was so much fun. It's a blast. We cannot wait to be a part of this one. And it's really one of the signature events in our community. People look forward to this one all year long. It's going to be a blast. And you can be a part of it, everybody. You sure do. Reach out to Lacey for that if you want to be a part of this, or if I have a float entered to it, Danny.
Or you can stop into the chamber and we have applications there, and we can answer any questions you might have.
Be sure to stop on by and be a part of this one. Want every business, all the business, everybody be a part of this one. It's going to be great. Going to be a good time. And as we're wrapping up, Danny, I did want to take some time to talk about Small Business Showcase that is coming up. Another great event in our area that you guys host.
Yes, I'm super excited about this one because I know we had talked about this last time, but I do really think that this is a way to not only promote shopping local and really promote our small businesses in this area, but also to build a community around that shopping. So it's going to be taking place from November 29th to December 12th. And it's just a really great way to promote your business, get some really good exposure for yourself while also kind of building that community and that anticipation around what you sell. So we are taking 45 small businesses for our passport, and the way it works is that our community members can stop into your shop and get a stamp on their passport when they shop at your business. And then after they have a certain amount of stamps, they're able to be eligible for a prize. And we are also taking raffle baskets for that. So to participate for a non-member, for a non-chamber member, it is $100. For a member, it is $50 plus a raffle prize. We are taking registrations no later than October 31st, so that deadline's coming up. I really do think this is one that, as a business, you do not want to miss out on. I think it's just such a great way to not only get your name out there, but to build that excitement around what you do.
All the things you just said, I second that wholeheartedly. And it's it is such a fun event, too, and it's such a great event to be a part of. And I know I've mentioned it being fun or being a part of it. That's part of community. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you all businesses out there spend a lot of money on advertising, and it's very important to your business. Think about yourself as a consumer, how often you see a name of a business on something. Like maybe you go to a high school baseball game or one of our many baseball games our kids have, and you see on the backfield, outfield walls and stuff a business's name. Things like that. That is the kind of marketing, that kind of a promotion that we're talking about with events like this, or Rekindle the Spirit, or a lot of the things the chamber does. It's getting your name out there. It's putting it out in front of people's eyes. And whether they know of your business or not, it's an opportunity for them to learn about it. And then there's something like this, where with the passport, all this fun stuff, you're really directed to the business. You're really going right to that and everything. And you could be one of those businesses. I don't know anybody in town that, whether you're doing amazing or you could use more people, everybody could benefit from this one because it's so much fun and you're showing you're a part of the community.
Of course. And I really do think it's just such a great way to build that kind of like word of mouth marketing, which as a marketing student, you do kind of learn that word of mouth is the most important, impactful, personal type of advertising. And so being a part of the Small Business Showcase, physically having your name out there and having people talking about what you do, it's amazing. Like, you can't beat that.
Right. That's good stuff, Dani. And a great episode, as always. You've been really just killing this. You're getting better and better at this. Nice work. Dani, if people have follow-up questions and want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, where's the best place to send them?
You can reach us at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, or you can call us at 715-423-1830.
Yeah, that website Dani mentioned is fantastic, because keep in mind, while we talked about a lot today, there are so many other great events and so many great resources for you at the website, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, community resources, workforce, economic development, so many other things over there for you. Head on over, bookmark the page, and be a part of all of these events, everybody. And be sure to follow the Chamber on social media, share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Dani, we'll talk again real soon. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Farmers are up against some critical deadlines when it comes to filing information with the federal government. But who is going to collect that information? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We'll take a little deeper dive on that subject next.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Jessica Sarbacher is with Lake Ridge Bank. She says one of the programs that she's monitoring closely through USDA's Farm Service Agency office, the simple crop reporting tool that is necessary for crop insurers. Sarbacher says farmers have to remember the deadline to get that report filed, November 15th.
The deadline is typically November 15th, and the crop insurance shares that deadline. Our acres are also due November 15th. So what this is going to do is there's obviously now a backlog of work for the FSA office to get through. So I find it highly unlikely that we will meet that November 15th deadline. So most likely no announcement yet, but I would guess that they're going to have some sort of an extension for that crop reporting.
Jessica Sarbacher with Lake Ridge Bank. She said one of the problems is they don't normally extend crop insurance deadlines. So she said farmers need to remember you still have to supply that information to your crop insurance provider by November 15th. We'll wait and see if the Farm Service Agency offices put out any extension. Markets are next.
Whether it's the sound of the carnival or the taste of the cotton candy or your first blue ribbon, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to offer cash prizes for your fair stories. Entries are being accepted all summer long and there is no limit, so tell us all of your stories. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished the day 2.5 cents higher at 182. 40-pound block cheese was up 2.25 at 182.25, while AA butter dropped 3.75 cents to 156.25 per pound. This morning in Chicago, right now, December corn's down a penny at 431. November soybeans are down 6.5 at 1072. July wheat currently a penny lower, 568. The November class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently down 8, 1776 a hundredweight. There's your market snapshot. I am Pam Yonke.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 53 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop down to just below freezing, around 31 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Halloween is creeping up fast.
Don't let the holidays scare you from having a party. Drive down to Wisconsin's last true dime store. Beaver's Dime Store in Nakusa has everything you will need for this great holiday, from old-fashioned candy to household decorations and gear to stay warm while trick-or-treating. Let Beaver's Dime Store take the horror out of holiday parties and put the fun back into time with family and friends. Have a spooky Halloween from everyone at Beaver's Dime Store in Nakusa.
In August, Patty and Eddie of Cabins on the Lake in Friendship lost their home in a devastating fire. These two people are always the first to help others. And now it's our turn to help them. Join us for a fun benefit Saturday, November 1st from noon until 5 p.m. at Connell's Cedar Shack in Adams. Music, food, live and silent auctions with awesome prizes, 50-50s, and lots of fun. All proceeds go to assist Patty and Eddie rebuild. Join us November 1st at Connell's Cedar Shack, just south of Adams on Highway 13. You'll have a good time for a great cause.
Maggie Dawn.
5 o'clock, I'm joined by Rachel LaCasse Ford. She's a mom of two and a small business owner. She discusses her personal struggles to find affordable health care and what the ACA subsidies mean to her and her family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back. It's time for our homeroom segment here, where we talk about public education in Wisconsin and the ongoing need to strengthen it and oftentimes defend it as well. And this time around, we're talking to a member of the Assembly Education Committee, State Representative Angelina Cruz from the Racine area joins us now. Representative Cruz, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've got a few different things to cover here. We will be getting into voucher school transparency, for example, in just a bit here. But there's also something to be said for one of the more recent controversies and the way that it's being handled with accusations of teacher misconduct in our classrooms and how it's being handled by the Department of Public Instruction. And on social media, you had some very strong words to say for people who are maybe right to be concerned about the case, but the way that they're handling it sure seems to be more political than need be. Do you feel like I'm describing that well?
I think you're describing it perfectly. I am very frustrated with the way in which the topic was handled. I sit on the GOAT committee, which is the Government Operations Accountability and Transparency Committee. And we held a hearing last Thursday in response to a CapTimes investigation that found more than 200 Wisconsin teachers accused of sexual misconduct kept their licenses. And so I do want to underscore the seriousness of the issue. As a veteran public school teacher, I prepared for the hearing. I came ready to ask some questions to help both law enforcement. It was my understanding that law enforcement and the Department of Public Instruction representatives were going to appear to testify on the topic. So I prepared with questions about how best we in the legislature could help support their work in more effectively addressing this issue. And that, unfortunately, is not what seemed to be the goal of my Republican colleagues in that hearing.
They simply wanted to, I mean, the way that you put it is we got 3 hours of partisan grandstanding, no solutions, no commitments, just noise. One Republican member even waved around an inappropriate picture talking about curriculum and you described it as tone deaf, essentially, some of the conduct that you witnessed in this committee hearing.
It absolutely was tone deaf. It was about 3 hours of, as you stated or quoted from my post, political grandstanding. I had to wait nearly 2 hours before the chair of the committee recognized me to ask my questions, at which point I used that opportunity to sort of try to help circle things back to the conversation, rein in what I thought I had heard from both law enforcement and the Department of Public Instruction testimony in terms of what we could do to help. And they clearly identified, we need clear statutory language around this issue. We need proper staffing and training for people that work in the public school system, from DPI all the way down to the school districts. We need better technology to upgrade DPI systems in order to track these cases and to report these cases. And we need consistent licensure standards for public school teachers are required to be licensed to teach in the classroom. Private school teachers are not. So we have a whole universe of teachers in the state of Wisconsin who are not licensed teachers, and they serve in the private school voucher sector. And so rather than sort of drill down on what I had heard were proposed solutions, it was what I would describe as sort of bad performance art from my Republican colleagues.
It certainly did seem that way. And again, unnecessarily so, when you could be looking at potential solutions. But you've already outlined some of the areas where you could seek to create an environment where these kinds of things can't happen in the future. But I noticed that a few of those things you mentioned would require a commitment of resources, and that is not something that your Republican colleagues are rushing to provide to our public schools.
That's correct. I think that's part of what they are trying to do. I mean, look, I can't speak to their personal intentions, right? But it seems to me we have the opportunity to sit down with people who are engaged in the work day to day, who are coming to us asking for help. We have an opportunity to create this forum in which we're listening to what they think we can do as legislators to help them more effectively do their work. And rather than hearing those solutions, they consistently pivot away from the fact that this Republican-controlled legislature has consistently underfunded or starved out public schools for the better part of over two decades. And that, I think, is really the crux of the conversation and what we need to address in the state legislature. We have a constitutional obligation to fully fund public schools, and we are not doing that.
No, it's a lot easier to simply take that problem and use it as a club to, you know, bash public schools and to say, well, they're hopelessly broken, and maybe that's why more tax dollars need to go to a voucher school system. But as you've said once, but we're going to say it again, these private schools are not any more accountable, not any more transparent. In fact, you could argue less so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not even an argument. It's just stating facts, right? If we mm-hmm. if we line up public schools and all the things that we are, all the ways in which we are to responsibly report to our taxpayers, property taxpayers, and the people of Wisconsin, the open transparency, the licensure standards for teachers, the ways in which we are responsible stewards of tax dollars, and juxtapose that with the voucher system, in which it's a completely unaccountable, not transparent system. It's essentially a shell game in terms of we're paying for two school systems as property taxpayers, and one is transparent and one is not.
That's right. We're talking to State Representative Angelina Cruz of Racine, who's on the Assembly Education Committee. Tony puts up on YouTube, I like this conversation, constructive and focused on how to fix DPI, not just complaining about State Superintendent Jill Underley. Tony, I don't mean to disappoint you, but I will state again for the record that I have said Dr. Underley should have had a good back and forth with the reporter or reporters investigating this. And or talk to a legislative committee. I personally think that if she had shown up to the legislative committee, what you thought was a circus last week, I think would have been even more so, knowing the reckless behavior that some of these lawmakers, take part in. I would have much rather seen her be up front with the cap times, and there's still her ability to do that. I think we should in the future. So I don't want to leave the topic without, you know, saying that about Dr. Underley. I don't know how you thought she could have or should have handled herself, but again, we can talk about, you know, how she did things all day long, but we've got to eventually fix the system and make things safe for the kids.
Absolutely. I agree. She should have been at the hearing. Absolutely. I do think that there's still an opportunity for her to step forward and sort of clear the air on some of the issues that have been surfaced, and to engage with the legislature in terms of how to mindfully address these issues moving forward. But I do also want to point out the fact that all of these committees are controlled by, again, my Republican colleagues. And so I don't think many people know that when our committee meetings are scheduled, it is on a very short timeline. And so I don't know the particulars of trying to schedule this committee meeting and coordinating that with Dr. Underly and the DPI. What I can speak to is my personal experience as somebody who sits on these committees. I don't know when these committee hearings are happening until usually, typically, days before they happen. So I have two committee meetings scheduled to happen tomorrow, Thursday, October 30th, that I were not confirmed with my office until yesterday or the day before. So we're working on a really short timeline, and this is just sort of another game they play in terms of, from my perspective, avoiding actually addressing issues, very serious issues that need to be addressed.
Oh, without a doubt. And I will simply say, as a former legislator, having watched when things worked under a better system, that this is recklessly unprofessional, the way that they schedule meetings on short notice and the way that they make members of the minority party wait, sometimes, like you said, 2 hours before speaking. That simply never happened before this bunch took over. And it is absolutely without shame, the way that they run these kinds of operations. I would not be surprised in the least if they intentionally scheduled this date knowing already that Dr. Underly was going to be out of town. I can't prove that. I'm saying their past behavior indicates I would not be surprised if that was the case. But this is, again, a committee that could be looking into so many other things, not the least of which is one that we've touched on, the unaccountability in the voucher program, which is, you know, hurtling at high speed toward costing taxpayers $1 billion a year. And now we're looking at the potential of those enrollment caps coming off the voucher school program. And if you can't cap enrollment, Representative Cruz, how bad could it get for taxpayers?
You know, my concern as a longtime education advocate, for just by way of background for people that don't know, I'm a public school teacher. I started teaching in 2003. I am the president of my local teachers union. I was elected in 2015. And so I have a degree in educational policy. This is a topic that I have unique expertise in. And so my concern is that we will, in fact, as a state legislature, blow a complete hole into our state budget should the caps come off of vouchers. We put $0, just to be clear, this biennium into general aid for public schools. So for the next 2 years, $0 go into public schools in general aid. Meanwhile, we have voucher schools receiving to the tune of $1.8 billion just in this biennium for the voucher program. And as you said, the caps are scheduled to come off in 2026. So the state legislature seems, the Republican legislature seems to have a deep commitment to investing in this completely unaccountable system while they're starving out our public school system. And so it's just a huge disservice, not just to the children of Wisconsin, but also to the property taxpayers of Wisconsin, to our local communities.
And that's what it makes it just that much more egregious, that they may be playing politics with a very genuine controversy simply to advance a political agenda. State Representative Angelina Cruz from Racine is on the Education Committee, as well as the GOAT Committee that we'll talk about again down the road. Representative Cruz, thank you very much for your time and for your service. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast and find out what he's talking about that you can get from civicmedia.us to sign up for the podcast there. And Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check as well, talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa barreling through Jamaica and crossing over into Cuba, and yet the parent agency of the National Weather Service is relying on volunteers for observations and data collection. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gage Diamonds has a secret for creating something stunning, something forever. It's our skilled ring designers. Tell them about your favorite ring styles. Show them your inspirations. Together, you'll make magic. Schedule your in-person or online appointment. Gage specializes in exceptional lab-grown diamonds. Financing available. Visit GageDiamonds.com. We're engagement's middle name.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the patriotic millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Kraken Septic for this Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined by our great friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We have Tarika with us, executive director over there. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. It's been too long. It's great to have you in studio to talk, to hang out, to hear a little bit and everything, and especially this month. In particular, there's never a bad time to talk with our Family Center catch up and certainly to talk about domestic violence. But in this month in particular, Tarika, it's an important one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so every October, we are recognizing lives lost from the previous year, honoring those lives that have been lost by domestic violence, and also really trying to spread awareness, educate our community about domestic violence.
You know, you've been doing this a long time, and I thank you for your service and what you do, not just in our community, but in our surrounding communities. I know you've been at this for a long time, and this has been a mission of yours.
Yes, I
do want to pause for a second in the conversation, and I know we've talked about this on air, off air a little bit ourselves, But it, I do want to credit our society, our community a little bit, in the fact that this is a topic that we don't really have to be hushed voice about anymore, that right. we are able to talk about this in shows like this or in everyday conversations that we have. We're seeing so many more people being on the right side of this one, in my words. It doesn't mean that there is any time now to be taking our foot off the gas.
Right.
If anything, now is more of a time for us to be very, very diligent about this. And I find for myself when I'm talking to people about this topic, I've probably done this my whole life. I don't want to say that verbatim, but I'm pretty sure that even since a young age, I can remember being in gym class and calling out my guy friends because mm-hmm. of something they said or whatever.
Yeah.
And how that went is a whole other story. But it's always been a big one to me. I don't know that I've ever noticed where when I bring this up now with people that I tend to bring it up with people that I don't think have ever thought much about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I do. And I'm like, oh, they have. This is much more on the public in the people's minds now and everything. And again, that doesn't mean that, OK, well, hey, job's done. No, not any close to that.
Right.
But it feels good. And mm-hmm. there's not a lot of that happens with this topic. And I just wanted to take a beat to be like, you know, we've made some progress on this.
Absolutely.
That's a positive. That's a great thing. There's plenty of work to be done, though.
Mm-hmm.
And we recently had a vigil that kind of celebrated this while also bringing attention to this. How did that go?
Really good. We had, for the Domestic Violence Awareness Month vigil this year, we had more community attendance. So, like, just speaking to what you just said, right, more people are talking about it. More people are aware. And so that's great. And more people are seeking further education, which is really a piece of what the vigil does. We also at the vigil honor community members or businesses who have partnered with Family Center and gone above and beyond for victims. And then we also every year at that vigil do recognize the lives and honor the lives that were lost in the previous year due to domestic violence.
I want to thank the community. I want to thank McMillan for hosting this.
Yes.
So many great individuals have showed up, and it's wonderful, encouraging to hear the turnout and everything. Everything I've said, though, also comes with a big grain of salt,
mm-hmm.
because while all these factors are true, we also have seen funding for our domestic violence shelters around the country just being it's not good.
Right.
I don't have the verb that I can use on the air, but it's not good. It has been really at the worst time, too, that
mm-hmm.
this could be happening when we're making such good progress. We're getting some headway here with this, and then to see funding cut left and right is very difficult. This is all the more reason why, as a community, it's important to be at this vigil. It's important to be a part of these events to raise attention and awareness and mm-hmm. information about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the last couple of years, unfortunately, we have seen funding for victim service providers, domestic violence shelters and services across the state of Wisconsin drastically cut, unfortunately, which is a huge impact for us. And at the same time, while we are facing those cuts, there was an increase in domestic violence homicides in 2024. It was a 16% increase from 2023. And so it's a hard balance when you have that big of an increase and then you're experiencing those funding cuts. And at Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, we're doing the best that we can, and we are to remain constant with all the services that we have provided over the 40 plus years.
Are there ways, whether it's just us as an individual or we're a business out there and we can help, we can be a part of things, we can, hey, I know that this is a gray area, or this is something we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so many ways that individuals, businesses can get involved, from volunteering. We're always right looking for volunteers. We couldn't do what we do without our volunteer team. We have volunteers that are working donations. We have direct service volunteers who are answering our crisis line. We have volunteers that come and help just clean shelter spaces and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunity for volunteering. Giving, supporting the Family Center financially is a huge piece. And also for different individuals or businesses, sometimes it's a unique opportunity that we might not see or we might not always think of. But once we get talking, it's like, oh, that would be a really great connection and a really great support for our mission and the work that we do.
I know what you're talking about, and I think that's one that only speaks to the creativity of our community and our businesses around here, but how, again, this is a topic that people want to get behind. This is a topic that people believe in. And that's very encouraging. Along with what you're saying there, I know painting the town purple was a big part of this. We saw in that our beautiful bridge, some of the lights are purple over there. I've seen a couple of people in my mom and dad's neighborhood that have purple light bulbs up. These kind of things go a long way.
They really do.
It all adds up.
Yes.
And it's impactful. And it's important for this because you've already given us one major stat that even if we spent the rest of our time just talking about that increase of 16% would be impactful. But you have some other stats for us too that we wanted to get into.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that increase in 2024 domestic violence homicide deaths, Wisconsin Rapids Family Center has also saw an increase in need right here in our own community. So for year to date, at the end of September in 2025, we have sheltered 91 individuals, which is over 4,000 bed nights, where in 2024...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa is grinding across eastern Cuba as a Category 3, dumping torrential rain along the way. Jamaicans are dealing with mass destruction after it made landfall there yesterday as a Category 5.
Outside, it was horrendous. It was horrible. The sounds were terrible. That's probably the worst part of it.
President Trump backing Israel after overnight strikes in Gaza that health officials say killed 104 people.
They say it was sniper fire, and it was retribution for that, and I think they have a right to do that.
The president in South Korea ahead of a meeting with China's leader, a date Mr. Trump will not be making on his Asia trip, a get-together with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
We really weren't able to work out timing. We have President Xi is coming tomorrow. That was something that obviously is very important to the world.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.